Good morning and welcome back to Faith Radio. A new school year is underway, and many families have kids who have just started high school or middle school for the first time. And given some of the dangers and temptations in today's youth culture, a lot of moms and dads are experiencing some anxiety about this brave new world their teen has just entered. Here at Faith Radio, we have a trusted friend we can turn to for advice at times like these. Mark Gregston, the director of Heartlight Ministries and the host of Parenting Today's Teens, which you can hear every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central here on Faith Radio. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks again for having me on. It is the beginning of a school year for many.
So what are the biggest fears that parents have about the new school year? And which of those concerns are real versus blown out of proportion?
Yeah, you know what? I think that there are a few that are always on people's minds. And the difficulty is that the same fears that we have when our child goes to third or fourth grade are pretty much the same fears we have when they're a junior or senior in high school, but we've got to change the way we engage with them just to make sure that we don't push our kids away, but we're really drawing them in. So, you know, one of those things is just the fear of the negative worldly influences. We've had them at home for the summer, and now they're going off to be exposed to all these different things and these new ideas and thoughts. And I think all of us are somewhat concerned about our kids' exposure to the world that is counter to a lot of what we believe and what we think. But I think people can turn it into a good opportunity as well.
You know, I think back to when I was in school, and I didn't have to worry about things like gay activism and transgender restrooms and, atheist high school teachers trying to undermine my faith. I mean, it is a whole different ballgame today.
Well, you know, what's changed is that you know, I think people want to be heard, and I'm not one of those guys that stand in judgment of other people, but I think what happens is people are trying to convince me that I'm wrong and I need to think like they do, and that's where I draw the line. And I think that provides the opportunity for us to have plenty of discussions with our kids. It's okay to be understanding, and it's okay to treat somebody with kindness and gentleness and not be so judgmental. But the line of demarcation for me is that when you try to get me to share your opinion and agree with it, and I'm wrong if I don't, that's going to offer the opportunity for parents and kids to have discussions around the dinner table like you've never had before. And because I think these gender issues do become an issue, the homosexual thing, the gay, the, you know, every life matters, which life matters. I mean, all those things are opportunities for discussion. When some people are fearful of that, I go, take advantage of it. It's our way to impart wisdom to our kids.
Now, what if our kids are not bringing up these things at the dinner table, Mark, and yet we're maybe aware, or we're at least assuming, that they're being exposed to some of this stuff in the public schools?
You know, I think that's where we have to sit down and be, you know, creative enough to say, hey, let's talk about this issue. What do you think about, you know, somebody of the opposite sex coming into your bathroom, you know, at school? Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think of, you know, I mean, bring it up and create the discussion, create the opportunity. Don't be afraid. Anything that's out there that is concerning to you, the best thing to do is to bring it up and say, hey, what do you think about that? And don't share your opinion until your kids say, well, Dad or Mom, what do you think about it? Because what I want kids to do when I sit down at a table is I want them to feel the freedom to discuss and talk about those issues that are facing them. And sometimes kids don't pay attention to those things because they don't feel like it concerns them and they don't have a platform to discuss, so they just kind of clam up and don't say a word. I want to have the opportunity, because therein lies the chance for me to share the wisdom of Scripture that I know and how it's fleshed out in a world that they're struggling through. Well, I want them to know we all struggle through it in some way. How do we love these people in such a way and stand for what we really believe in? And I think that's what kids are looking for.
So stop the sermonizing and ask questions and then be a good listener.
Yeah. Start listening.
All right.
Listen to their heart. Absolutely.
Now, another fear that some parents have is the fear of our kids getting involved with the wrong crowd. And that's a really legitimate fear for a lot of parents.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's that scripture that says that, you know, that these bad kids corrupt good morals. But here's the thing. Every kid's a bad kid in one sense. And on the other hand, it's funny that I live in a residential counseling center with 60 kids who are struggling and having a tough time, and they're all really bad kids, but I got to tell you, they're great kids. And my kids hang around them because they're older and they work there, but I want my grandkids to hang around them as well. I think what happens is we peg these kids and we don't give them the opportunity to come out of their shell, when we really need to be realizing that all these bad kids have needs that could be our new mission field. And so the way to engage with them is to invite them over, have them for dinner, and let them spend time, you know, with your kids at home. But make sure you're having discussions about that and that you're checking to make sure they're not influencing to the level that it's going to take your child down the wrong path.
Mm. There's another fear that some moms and dads have, particularly when their kids go off to, let's say, middle school for the first time. That is the fear of losing control.
Yeah. I think control gets thrown out the window somewhere. I mean, I think it's kind of like the internet. We begin to realize that we can't control everything that comes into our home as well. And so when I am losing control and my child is taking on more control, I hope that as they get older, I don't have to have as much external control around them because they're developing the internal control that they need to stay on course. You know, what I just need to make sure that I'm having those discussions about that. Hey, and let them make decisions. You know, I start preparing them for that time. Sometimes we don't let our kids make the decisions, and so when they have to exercise their decision-making muscle in later years, they're not ready to pick up the heavier issues because we haven't trained them. I mean, Scripture tells us, train up a child. Well, adolescence is the time that we train. We teach in the early years. We train in the adolescent years how to take what they believe to be true and apply it to their life in such a way. And so this is the experimental ground. When they go off to middle school and junior high and high school, this is the opportunity to see whether what we're teaching is going to stick or not. And so we need to train them how to take everything into the world rather than retreating from the world.
Mm. One other fear that I know a lot of moms and dads face, which I have some concerns about, is the fear of poor academic performance. What would you say to moms and dads who are obsessing about that, Mark?
Yeah, you know, and you got to know that this comes from somebody who didn't even make it to the top 85% of his senior class, but did go on to law school. And so, you know, there's still hope. Grades are not the number one thing, you know, for any family, I don't believe. You know, if my child gets bad grades, you know, sometimes we feel like they're not going to succeed in life, and that's not true. And sometimes we push grades so much that we become a performance-oriented family, and that drives kids away because what they want is a relationship-oriented. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't desire for our kids to make good grades. I think what we do eventually is get them to a point where they can learn on their own and they use me as a resource, as a parent, as a resource that's helping them, but transfer control to them so I don't have to deal with it when they go off to college or go on to their next job or military or wherever the next step is in their life. But somewhere that fear of poor academic performance, I've got to step back a little bit and realize that in the junior high years and senior high years, I can require them to do so much in the earlier years, but the plan is to train them so they can take it on their own and not to be so upset if they make a B or a C and an occasional D. The relationship that you have with your child is the most important thing within your family, not grades.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you said that, Mark, and I hope parents, all the parents listening heard that loud and clear, because we can place way too much emphasis on academic success. Our guest is Mark Gregston. He's the director of Heartlight Ministries, the host of Parenting Today's Teens here on Faith Radio. We'll take a quick break and be right back. Good morning. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer here with Mark Gregston, who is the host of Parenting Today's Teens. You can hear it every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central here on Faith Radio. So, Mark, this new semester underway, and I know you have some advice for parents on how to make this a really good school year. We talked about this before the break. One thing is not to focus too much on academic success and achievement, because what happens to a child when a parent makes it all about the honor roll and all about getting into a top college?
Well, you know, when they do that, then what we're doing as parents is saying that this is all about a performance world. And here's the problem. Our kids already live in an academic and performance world. You know, they're at school and they're being pushed and they're living in a world that is counter to what most of us believe. And I think they come home and what they need is a place of rest. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your soul," I think he's talking to our high school kids as well, to our middle school kids. They need a place of rest, not a place where they have to come and perform again and perform again and perform again. And I think somewhere we got to give them a break, and we've got to release that tension for them in some way, because the tension is building for them at school. Every one of us has said this. Anybody who's listening has said this: "I'm glad that I don't have to be raised in this culture today." Well, our kids do. And somewhere, because of the pressure it puts on them, we've got to relieve the pressure. And perhaps we can tell our child, "You know what? You don't have to make straight A's. Maybe straight B's would be nice. Or tell me what you think would be good. Tell me what you would need to do." And, you know, I tell kids all the time, "Hey, just do the homework that we're asking you to do, and you'll do well." And then what I do is help them any way I can to complete the very minimum of those things. And if they want to excel and go on further, it's going to be self-driven. But my point is that I share with parents everywhere: don't put grades before the relationship that you have with your child. I would rather have a great relationship with my child that's flunking every class and deal with those issues that I need to deal with than to not have a relationship with a child who's making straight A's. The relationship is what is going to keep that child connected to your family. It's what's going to help make them change, and it's going to be your conduit to offer them opportunities to learn how to take the education they're getting and apply it to the world that they live in.
Mm, really well said. Another issue I know at the beginning of the school year that we probably should address with families is we have so many extracurricular and church activities that families are involved in these days. Some parents are spending very little quality or quantity time with their kids. What do you suggest that families do to make sure they don't drift apart, especially during these crucial teen years?
Yeah. You know, there's a scripture that talks about the busyness in our lives. In Thessalonians, the scripture says, "We were all busybodies accomplishing nothing." And that scares me, because I know I'm busy all the time, and this phone that I carry with me fills in the cracks with everything. It's almost like every night there's something, and every day there's more to do, and we can't get away from it. And I'll tell you this, that when dads, when you get to a point where you're giving away your daughter at their wedding, you're not going to bring up grades, and you're not going to talk about all these other things that don't matter. You're going to talk about those one-on-one times that you have with your child, the times that were very special. And I just performed my 414th wedding this past weekend in Chicago.
Wow.
And it's crazy. And at half the events that I've done, half the weddings I've been at, most dads get up front and express regret for what they haven't done with their child. And I look at that and I go, take time out of your busy schedule. If there's ever a time that your child needs you, it's during the adolescent years, more than any other time. Those opportunities are plentiful in the earlier years, but it gets so hard when they become busy as well, that if you don't chisel out some time in your schedule and say, "Let's go sit down and talk," and you just give them the opportunity to talk, and you ask them questions, and you don't share your opinion unless they ask, you give them a platform to talk to you, they'll eventually get to a point, say, "Dad, what do you think? Hey, Mom, what do you think?" And that's what you're looking for, is those opportunities to transfer all the values and the biblical wisdom that we have just inside of us that wants to come out they'll give the opportunity when they need it. But you got to provide the setting for that to happen.
And I would say you got to put it on the calendar or it's probably not going to happen. So
make it
a priority. Mark, as we kick off the new school year, our kids are going to make new friends, especially if they're going off to middle school or high school for the first time. We can't choose our teens' friends, although we can offer them guidance about how to discern character in other people. Can you talk about the importance of getting to know your child's friends?
Yeah. You know what? I think I would become a student of my child's friends. I would invite them over. I'd have them to dinner. I'd take them on vacation. Your kids will love it, having some of their friends on vacation. I would take it as an opportunity to influence and minister to somebody other than everybody else, but to those kids that directly influence my kids. I tell parents all the time, quit doing everything for everybody else, everywhere else, and focus on your child and their friends during their adolescent years so that you can be a haven of hope, not only for your own kids, but for those kids that are struggling and need something. They'll be drawn to you. For it's far better to try to influence those kids than and to move in a good direction than to shelter your own child and never give them the opportunity to engage with anybody. You know, you can either choose to raise your kids to live in a zoo or you can prepare them to survive in the jungle. and it's a jungle. And if it is, we've got to help our kids with that. Instead of running from the animals, it's embracing and saying, how do we deal with these animals? How do we love those people that think differently than us? How do we still be the light and salt that God's called us to? How do we be that light on a hill that shines and says, hey, when it gets dark, there's a place to go, and I can tell you about that. And so that we're not pushing our kids away, but we're drawing them to us because we're loving who they love and have fallen in love with as well.
Mm. Mark, we've just got about a minute left. Let me ask you, balancing freedom and responsibility are really critical as your child moves through the teen years. What are some practical ways to just do that on a daily basis?
Well, I let them make some decisions. I mean, just figure out and say, okay, today I want them to make some decisions, not you. I mean, and that teaches them how to make good decisions. And then when they get home, and maybe it's not the best decision, but if it's an okay decision, leave it alone. You want to give them the opportunity to make decisions. But I think you start giving them more freedoms. The older they get, the more you let that rope out. And somebody says, well, but they're going to blow it. They're going to make mistakes. And I go, that's right. And it gives you the perfect opportunity to sit down and talk the next morning and say, hey, let's talk about last night. That didn't go too well. You came in an hour late after curfew, and we've already given you an extended period of time. What do we need to do here? And it may be that your child goes, well, I need more time because everybody else is going out. And you may be too tight. You may be too strict, and you need to loosen up. But on the other hand, you're going to have a discussion. Make sure that every discussion that you have in conflict and in something that's very good, that it ends in a hug, that you affirm the relationship with your child.
Oh, that's so great. Mark Gregston, the host of Parenting Today's Teens. You can hear it this coming Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on the Faith Radio Network. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Bill. See ya.